Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. Suddenly beautiful in our town. People have been clearing the debris out of their gardens. They've been putting in their seedlings. Irene Bunsen planted the tomatoes that have been sitting under the grow light in the basement for months, and so that was the signal to everybody else that it was time for them to do likewise. The Whippets have been practicing down at the ballpark for their home opener on Memorial Day against the Avon Bards, and the confirmation classes are almost done for this spring. Just so much going on all at one time. Redemption by faith, not works, and fishing, people planning fishing trips, and tomatoes, and baseball, and more. The Rasmussens are said to be going through a marital separation on account of remodeling. Wallpaper can do that to people. She said she was going off to see her sister in Des Moines for a few days. It's been a few weeks, and nobody's dared ask Jimmy anything about that whatsoever. They've been interesting birds seen. There was an indigo bunting seen at the bird feeder of Lois Schrupp. It was seen by her neighbor, Janice Gildemeister, who also saw two bluebirds along with it. There's competition between those two over who can get the most interesting birds to their bird feeder. And Janice suspected that Lois may be using some substance, some illegal substance, some addictive substance to draw in birds, perhaps steroids, who knows what may be going on here. Jimmy Rasmussen, living up there in that old frame house all by himself. What do you do about this? We don't know. Arlene Bunsen went up to see him last Sunday. She's the acting treasurer at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church. And for the last 3 weeks, Jimmy Rasmussen has left unsigned checks in the collection basket. So she went up to see him about that. And when she came up to that old frame house, she saw that aluminum patch on the side, close to the ground, below the kitchen. And, of course, she thought about that snake, as we all do every time we see it. In Lake Wobegon, we don't refer to it as the Rasmussen House, though they have lived there now for 16 years. We refer to it as the Peterson House. They were the ones who lived there for about 40 years before that, and they were the ones who had the snake who lived under their kitchen all of those years. It was 16 feet long, and it weighed about 240 pounds. It was green, it was brown, it was some kind of python. We weren't sure. Not the sort of snake that should grow in Minnesota or be able to survive our winters, but it came in and out through that hole under the kitchen. It went hunting at night, they figure, down in the woods. The Petersons lost a lot of chihuahuas those years. Somehow their six children survived. It was their littlest girl, Julie, who discovered the snake. She was looking for a place to hide. They were playing hide and seek. And she crawled into that hole under the kitchen, and she saw the yellow eyes of that snake, and she was transfixed. That's how pythons get their prey, is they hypnotize you. They stun you with their look. She was stunned. But thank goodness she had just had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and pythons cannot bear peanuts. And so her life was saved. The snake turned away, and it closed its eyes in revulsion, and she escaped. And she went and she told her mother, and her mother crawled in, assuming the child had made this up, crawled into the hole, and there were the yellow eyes looking at her, there in the little dark crawl space under the kitchen, and she was transfixed, hypnotized by that snake. But the child towed her mother out by the ankles, and they called the volunteer fire department, who came, and they were gonna flood it with their fire hoses. And then they remembered reading somewhere in an old farmer's almanac that snakes become very sleepy when they eat melted cheese. So they melted a pot of Velveeta and they stuck it in the crawl hole, and the snake ate it, and its eyes closed, and the volunteer fireman pulled it out, and it took 6 men to carry this snake down to the fire truck. 6 men. They were going to take it down to the zoo in Minneapolis, but somewhere around McGregor, Minnesota, the snake woke up, and it jumped off the truck, and it's out there somewhere today. Who knows where it is? The Petersons lived for just 6 months more in that house. You see, all those years, the snake had been there, 30 years. They heard sounds under there, sort of rustling, creaking sounds, and they just assumed that the house was settling. And now they thought about it every day. They still heard those sounds. They thought about those little kids, all the days they've been playing outside, and that horrible 16-foot-long python. And they moved to California. They just couldn't live there anymore. They moved out to Napa Valley, and they opened a resort out there called the Paradise Inn, which is a place where people who've been married a long time go to see if they still like each other after their children have mostly been raised. You know, a couple kids have grown up and moved away, and one is still living down in the basement, and he's 33, and he's a filmmaker or something. Who knows what he does? And you just can't worry about that any longer. So you go off to Napa Valley, and you stay out there at the Paradise Inn with the Petersons, and you open yourself up a nice little bottle of Pinot Noir, and you look at each other, and you try to remember what it was you had in mind back when your flesh was united. That's what they're doing. There was a picture in the Lake Wobegon Herald Star back when that snake was captured, being carried by 6 men. And ever since that picture appeared in the paper, population in Lake Wobegon has been on the decline. People never talk about it. Of course they don't talk about it. They would never talk about it. In fact, you ask people nowadays in Lake Wobegon, what about that enormous python? And they'll say, what python? I never heard about it. But of course they did. And people have been moving away on account of that snake. Kids graduate from high school, and they go off somewhere else. They save for the opportunity, but we know they're not that bright. I mean, what? It's the snake. It's the snake. People get older, and they go to Florida, and they go to Florida because they say they can't stand the winter. That's not the reason. Winter is when snakes are dormant. It's not winter you have to worry about. That snake has been, well, it's been like a snake around our neck. It's been a curse on our whole. Anyway, she went up there to Jimmy Rasmussen's house, and she walked up to the door. She knocked on it. There was no answer. She could smell paint inside. She opened the door. She walked in. The kitchen was a disaster. And then she heard sounds from upstairs, groaning and moaning as if somebody had fallen and could not get up. And then she realized it was a video. It was one of those videos. She said, Jimmy! He said, what? And the sound stopped. She said, you put some checks in the collection plate that aren't signed. He said, leave them on the table. I'll sign them when I can. I'll bring them back. So she did. She walked back downtown. That snake has been a problem for us. All these years, I have no idea what we're ever going to do about it either. Town council took it up this last week. There was an offer from the Department of Homeland Security of an armored personnel carrier with 6 sets of infrared night goggles. Eloise said people would laugh their socks off if we were to get an armored personnel carrier in this town. Yes, but somebody said, you know, you turned down something from the federal government and they'll never ever offer you anything else. You accept these grants when they're offered. And if we had night goggles, we'd be able to send the constables out and the armored personnel carrier and watch out for these snakes out there that might be out in the woods. What snakes? Somebody said. So I don't know that that will ever be resolved. Meanwhile, life goes on. Arlene Bunsen's tomatoes are in the ground, and she's put a couple of tape decks out there which play Glenn Miller, which she says the tomatoes seem to like. The Whippets have the same problem that they've had for years, and that's pitching. Nobody knows how to tell Ernie that the knuckleballer is not moving anymore. The knuckleballer is dead. It's time for him to quit. But how do you tell a man? Give a man the bad news like that. Janice Rasmussen, when is she going to come back? Somebody asked Jimmy, when is she going to come back? Well, he said, I don't know, she's allergic to paint. It may take a while. We think she's allergic to much more than paint. They're talking about fishing trips. The men are talking about going out to Reno, Nevada on a fishing trip, and the women say they'd like to go too, so that will be the end of that. And the feud over the wild birds between Lois Schrupp and Janice Gildemeister. Janice Gildemeister called up the constables, Gary and Leroy, and said she wanted them to check. She wanted them to check there in the bird feeder over at the Schrupp's house. Check those seeds. See where those seeds come from. Gary and Leroy decided to refer it to a subcommittee of the town council. That's where all these great questions wind up. Somewhere there's a snake sitting up at the head of a committee table waiting for the subcommittee to come in and decide what to do about him. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.